Bully the Paladin.
Bad things happen to people I love. Sunflower, good
morning. So is this an audience or a mosaic?
Ohatmu or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. And we cover it with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe, giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Ohatmu or Not is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid, and with me today are...
Amélie,
Isabelle,
Natalie,
Elise,
José,
Shotgun.
Paladin to Pluto.
Paladin, the mysterious costume mercenary known as the Paladin, is generally virtuous and heroic, but he does what he does for money, often even if it means he's going up against other heroes. For example, he once took a contract to kill the Punisher, but failed, and once used a sniper rifle on Daredevil, but non-lethally, except it did lead to Daredevil's arrest. So just make sure you're the highest bidder and he'll be on your side. Confidentiality is paramount, and he'll never betray his client's secrets, or his own for that matter. So we don't know where he got his training in combat, gymnastics, and marksmanship. We don't know how he manages to lift 1 ton unaided, and we don't know where he got his gear, a padded bulletproof suit, night vision goggles, and a stun gun that shuts down its victim's nervous system. In the love department, he dated the Wasp for a while, but his reputation is that of a womanizer who takes a fancy to any beautiful woman around him. Also pictured, a technical drawing of the stun gun.
Technical.
Thank God, because I was wondering. So I'm so happy I see this profile of the stun gun.
The detail.
It looks like something you bring in the pool.
It does look like a water gun. Yeah. I agree.
It looks also like there's no trigger.
I think that's why it feels like a water gun. It feels like you would just like press the handle.
Why is it like snake vibes? Like the top of his head?
I don't know, but I like the snake vibe on his shins.
Yeah, that does feel very like cobra-y.
Maybe he bought his outfit from the Serpent Society.
Maybe.
Yard sales.
Serpent Society yard sale.
I would absolutely go to the Serpent Society yard sale.
Just to see what they have.
Please. Absolutely.
Even if I don't, like, I buy one plate, it's like, I'm just curious to see what they have.
One plate.
I love that that's what you think they sell.
Well, they must have banquets and, like, meals.
That's true.
Of evil things.
There's just snakes everywhere.
I love that you bring back the Serpent Society all the time, but we haven't seen any in a
while. I know! I missed them!
I promise a couple in this particular issue.
Yay! I love a good snake.
Do we?
Except this guy. I'm not a huge fan.
I don't know if this is gonna make sense or not, but...
Go for it.
You know how in a lot of, like, newer superhero movies, the actual outfit is, like, a dulled-down version?
Oh, yeah.
Which is, like, fine, because it's a movie, and I get it. You don't want, like, a, you know, the bright Superman outfit or
something
whatever.
Something cartoony. Modern.
Yes. Which, personally, I would prefer, if I'm honest. But this feels like the... Oh, he's in the movie, so we need to do it more serious kind of out.
Kind of looks like Hawkeye's outfit in The Avengers.
Yeah.
And all that.
It's sort of like how like movies do military-ish.
Yes. Yeah. I hate the shoulders and I hate the head bit. I like the color, though.
Yeah.
The goggles look like he's skiing.
Maybe that's his like go skiing outfit, but also you have a 5 o'clock meeting.
Oh, when you give me a man who can do both.
Okay. So it's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
About like a kid who witnessed a crime and he's at a ski lodge and these are the bad guys that are chasing him.
Okay. Yeah. Or do they have a thick European accent?
Yes, of course. Yes.
From Absolutely. A country that's never identified.
And sometimes it sounds Swedish, sometimes it sounds like a Russian accent. It does not matter.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly the vibe it gives me. Just kind of generic bad guy.
You say that. I find it interesting that, like, he has a bunch of powers that we have no idea how he got. So it fits with the The evil that has training of, we don't know how, we don't know when, but it just happened.
You know how they say that, like, no press is bad press? No.
Any
press is good press.
Well, I mean,
which means
no press
is bad press. Because if you have nothing about you out there, no one's going to know who the F you are. Paladin.
So to bring this name up, I feel like that I only ever hear this word in, like, people who are playing, like, RPGs. Never hear this word any other time in my life.
100% I was like, oh, D&D, cool.
Is it related? I don't remember what a paladin
is. No, neither do I. Okay, so...
In D&D, Morden a warrior.
It's a Christmas movie.
Yes. I mean, if it's a winter movie, the odds are.
Yes, it's a Christmas Disney ski movie.
But he is a ladies' man.
That's right. Yeah, that's what he wants you to believe.
Dated the Wasp.
Gets in this room.
I would believe this is a get.
Yeah, that's nice.
He gets in this room and he's so flustered by all the beautiful ladies that he doesn't know who to give...
Yes, that finished Rosé, you're sure to get attention. I wish I could describe it.
Everyone at home swooned.
And they don't even know why.
Well, like you said, he doesn't do anything for free. So, like...
Does he treat them badly, though? Or is it just, like, a whirlwind romance and then it's done?
Yeah, do I have to pay him to go on a date is my question.
Is it all the summer loving and then it's over?
Yes.
And it happens so fast.
I mean, I've had summer lovings that had me a blast.
I mean, if you're a mercenary, you're traveling a lot for missions.
I guess.
I could follow.
It's kind of going on tour and whatever.
I can respect if he's not a jackass about it. That's fine. As long as everyone's on the same page about what's happening here, that's okay.
Yeah. Is he a jackass about it?
No.
All right. Well, that's great. Okay. Yeah.
Good for him.
I mean, as usual, the comics aren't really about the love lives.
What?
But they really
that's so
be.
Interesting.
It would be good for this podcast if they were.
It would make our job so much easier.
Parker, you know, people like that, sure. These side heroes.
The real name unrevealed.
I can't stop seeing those travel pillows.
He travels a lot.
Yeah, he's
practical.
He built it. He was like, you know what? I need a new armor. I need to think about the traveling. I'll have shoulder pads for comfort for my date to rest her head.
Oh,
and
no.
I will also have a cushion around my neck. Like, he's
look so cushioned, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the thing that it's kind of, you know, that those puff jackets?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, somebody could cosplay.
Winter!
Someone could cosplay this pretty easily if you just got, like, a purple puffer jacket.
And a water gun.
Yeah, like you'd be pretty set.
Is the gun actually blue?
Yep.
That's a very silly
that
color
is very
for a
silly.
Gun.
Yeah. It's comic, so it's probably like a metal, like a metal blue or something.
Right.
Hopefully it's gray.
Like a bluish gray.
It's in the same way where like silvery. our car is like was described to us as like blue gray, and then we're like, oh cool, it's gonna be like a bluish color, and then we saw it and we're like, no, this is gray. This is just gray. You lied to us. This is
it's gray, but it's got a metallic sheen, so they call it that.
Yeah,
paladin. Hot or not?
I'll say, I don't like when they have these black suits where you can't see any details. Like there's a bulge missing there.
Yes, I cannot see it.
It looks like a black hole.
It looks like an empty black hole. Like there's no dick. It's just a black hole.
It's very dark and deep, but like... He has like nice definition. He seems to be like buff, but not in a scary way.
I like to think
way.
It's just the right size.
It doesn't seem like it would be like ridiculously big.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like,
you know what? He has that little stun gun, so he doesn't have to compensate.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's a little bit like those little images that you need to draw parts yourself. It's like, imagine what you want. And it's kind of nice.
Yeah. I would like to know what he puts in his tiny pockets next to his belt buckle.
My lipstick.
I think...
Tylenol.
Oh, yeah.
He has a black hole dick, and I am void of attraction.
Oh! I will...
Poetry.
I will admit that he's hot or not to the highest bidder.
I... I'm going to say hot, but it's not, like, crazy. Yeah. I will forget this guy immediately. I don't dislike it.
We'll have a fling. It's going to be nice, and we'll move on.
Yeah.
The end.
And like, then 5 years.
Five years from now.
What was his name again?
Steve.
But his dick was great.
You know, that's the kind of person that would be like, you know, great dick guy.
Yeah.
And you check your phone and it is in there under great dick guy.
Excellent. I mean, we don't know his name, so.
Same sentiment. He looks good, but forgettable.
Yeah. I started this thinking like, eh. And I ended thinking it.
great progression.
His other alias is Paul Denning.
What? Paul?
It goes by Paul.
Paula Din.
The wasp has
Paula Din. Paula
Din.
Oh my god.
No. I changed my vote.
What's happening?
So you're gonna play Paladin, huh? The oath-sworn protector, the one with a purpose. Do you like to bolt yourself down to a set of rules that you can't work around, even with other characters, which causes the eventual decline of a party or a character because you don't know how to play one? That's right. Your backstory doesn't need to be an epic fable. Just remember there's other people at the table.
Phaistos, Brian Tyree Henry's character in the Eternals film, the gadgeteer and technomancer of the group, was, and I don't think you'll be surprised to hear this, mistaken for the Greek god Hephaestus in the olden times. In the movie, he had a human husband and an adopted son, but in the comics, he was eventually said to have a human wife. He was also filled with deep sorrow over someone he'd lost in the past and was on an eternal quest to find them or some object connected to them, perhaps. He's obsessed with this quest, but the details were never revealed. He has all the eternal powers, immortality, invulnerability, manipulating cosmic energy, flight, casting illusions, teleportation, great strength, etc. But his greatest talent is inventing amazing technology, including his hammer that is on par with Thor's. He's pictured firing energy from it into a tentacled creature's face.
Can he be played by Terry Crews?
He's already been played by someone.
Yes, but you're right that the picture is very Terry Crews.
Like, why is he so wide?
Even his feet are wide.
Everything is wide. It feels like he's been smushed on the page.
Yeah.
It's very uncomfortable.
It looks like he's wearing two different sets of shoes per feet.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like, he's supposed to be 6'3", but from the way it's drawn, to me, it looked like 5'3".
Yeah, but he's 410 pounds. He's just really thick.
Is he, like, tall? Is 6'3"?
6'3". You see, I see that. I think he's huge width-wise, but also I think he's, like, 7 feet tall. Like, he looks just like, I feel my head would end at his, like, knee.
How do the people on Earth not know that he's not human?
Because we just compared him to Terry.
Well, I do not think he is human.
The people on Earth thought he was a god.
Oh.
Right? They thought he was a Phaistos. I mean, the ancient Greeks did.
I mean, I get it. If I saw this guy, I'd be like, Jesus.
They also think he's Vulcan.
Well, Vulcan is the Roman version of Hephaestus. The more you know.
I will say, I am not a fan of muscle t-shirt that shows half your ribs.
No.
One woman, on whoever wears them, I'm always like, just put something on your body.
But I wouldn't mind it if it wasn't for the shoulders.
No.
Like, if it was straighter.
Yeah, like a tank top with the long arm situation. Sometimes you see that in the 80s.
Yeah, that's kind of fine to me.
No.
But the shirt on. No.
But I like wearing them with a sports bra under.
But even so, that's like more detail than this.
Mm.
I think it's just like the nothingness.
He also has a very short torso.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And his belt looks like a road.
I think it's supposed to be a chain motif.
I thought it looked like red blood cells.
I see the chain. I don't like it, but I see it.
Because you forge chains. Just
it's Tic Tacs on Valentine's Day.
It lacks movement.
You're right.
Like, it's just
a drawing.
I mean, but there's curves in the rest of it, and this is just, like, really stiff.
Yeah,
he's kind of glued on top of it.
He looks like he's, like,
He looks constipated.
But, there's no depth to... I think it looks like those big Band-Aids, like the fancy Band-Aids that are like... Because there is absolutely no depth to it.
Yeah.
That being said, I do not think he has any movement to him at all. He is not the gracefulest person. Like, no. This, I would not take him dancing.
Oh, it's no. Weird that he's a tech guy and he's so buff.
Well, he needs to forge and shit.
I guess you need to. Well, yeah. Why are you forging technology?
His wingspan is intense if you think about it. Because, like, it's his fist is closed and it's practically to his knee.
Shit.
So, like, if he really extends it, it would be, like, at least to his knee, if not past his knee.
Yeah.
Is this one of the Eternals that people who've seen the movie remember?
Yeah.
No.
That's like the only one I remembered.
I don't remember. If I saw a picture.
He's actually great. I love them, and I love that they made him have a gay relationship, the child. I love that.
Right. Now I remember.
Made him more human, which is probably why I remembered him.
Yeah, he was one of the ones that really integrated into human society.
Yeah.
Didn't want to give it up.
He can fly at 600 miles per hour. That's too fast. Slow down, buddy.
I have a question about the hammer. If you're going to build a hammer, then why then shoot lasers out of it?
Versatility.
That's a good question.
Thor also uses his hammer to throw lightning around sometimes.
Yeah, so but I think lightning and lasers, not the same thing.
Does he also throw it?
It's a laser, it's a paperweight.
It's a laser, a paperweight, a boomerang, a hammer.
It's just like actually building a house.
I mean, why not?
It does look way too much like Thor's hammer. I'm gonna be honest. That kind of annoys me.
I just think he's...
Yeah. Well, let me ask. Phaistos, hot or not?
I don't remember what he's like.
Obsessed with this quest.
Such as my catchphrase is, what's his personality again?
Boring.
Just obsessive?
Yeah, I got that we don't have much of a personality from this guy. That's kind of what I got. Yeah.
We got a lot more personality on the movie than in the comics.
Like, I feel like he would be such a boring date. I'd be the person that'd be, like, messaging that, or, like, Amelie being, like, call and say you're sick, dying in hospital, just get me out.
Oh. It does seem like he would not be the best conversationalist.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, his idea of a conversation would be, like, describing the specs of something.
Oh.
And you're just like, uh-huh.
If he's
interesting.
And, like, I usually like the tech characters. That's, like, a cliche of mine at this point. But I don't know. I mean, we've talked about this before, but, like, the ridiculously muscled people is not usually something that we enjoy very much either, so that's not great for me.
And also, he has too many powers.
Yeah, frankly, I prefer it when it's more simple. That's a little all over the place.
When you're listing the powers and you have to say, etc.
All the Eternals are like too this, many. Right?
I know, and I don't like that.
Comic version, not. Movie version, hot.
Terry Crews, hot.
For the record.
I need to check.
Other hot men exist? No.
He's not a sponsor, that's for sure.
He's like the guy in White Chicks.
I can't believe that's your reference.
Yeah, of all the things.
Well, do you? Yeah,
she did her
thing. It was her mom's favorite movie.
It's
for
my
years.
Reference to the
movie. White Chicks was your mom's favorite movie. She's only going down my estimation every time.
For like a long time.
That is absurd.
Probably still.
She still loves it.
One of the worst films of all time.
But one of the best scenes of all time.
That is a good scene. Terry Crews is charming.
It's fun. He's scary, muscly in that.
Though. Yeah, I mean, he always kind of is. It's a little too much for me.
We're way off the point.
Yeah.
Phoenix. As we've discussed before, the Phoenix Force is a cosmic being that gives its host access to powerful energies enough to destroy a planet if one is not careful and lets that absolute power corrupt them absolutely. The first human being to incarnate the Phoenix was Jean Grey, and pages 2 and 3 show that version. In green costume when she was good, red when she was corrupted. We see the costume, the flaming bird around her using a talon of energy on the White Queen, blasting someone, flying through space, destroying a spaceship, and crushing a star. Things did not end well for that version of Jean, and she destroyed herself rather than continue to pose a threat to the universe. But you can't destroy the Phoenix Force, and in the future known as Days of Future Past, where mutants are hunted down by order of the government, Scott Summers and Jean Grey have had a daughter called Rachel.
who had her mother's powers of telepathy and telekinesis. She was captured by the U.S. government and turned into a hound, brainwashed as a child into using her abilities to track down other mutants, put on a literal leash, and her face tattooed. Oh. She was liberated by mutant rebels who had her travel back in time to prevent this dystopian future from happening, Terminator style. There, Rachel Summers tapped into the Phoenix Force and became the new Phoenix. But she didn't fully incarnate it and has not been drawn to the dark side. She joined the X-Men and has been in one mutant team or another ever since. We see her in battle with a Sentinel, the Black Queen, the Beyonder, and Nightcrawler, plus manifesting the Phoenix shape around herself for the first time, undercover as a maid, firing a psionic blast, and ripping guns out of people's hands. As you might imagine, Rachel's disturbing past makes her shy and withdrawn, and she flies into a berserker fury if her friends and family are threatened. After a while, she grew more confident, and the Phoenix Force has pushed her towards arrogance, but no matter what, she's committed to ensure her dark future doesn't happen.
Wow.
Is this a face tattoo, or is that a mask?
Yeah, that's a face tattoo, but usually she uses her powers to make you not notice.
Did she also get her legs and arms tattooed?
No, that's just the power going.
That's just, okay. That's the power? Or the costume?
Well, the costume, yeah, the power and the costume are blinked. Yeah, as a hound, like, she was dressed like in some sort of black S&M costume. She later adopted a red one, which is like just a plastic suit with spikes on it.
How old was she when this was happening?
Young.
Yeah, right?
That sucks.
That's gross.
I hate it.
Good lord. It's a really horrifying story.
I kind of don't want to talk about her. Can we just talk about Jean?
I love that neckline.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why is it a W? It's not a W.
But also, where are her nipples?
How on the side a little.
This is too bright to look at. I think that's the effect that we're supposed to
imagine.
That's
what nipples do.
No, but I mean, they would be like
in the
right
at the points.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
I think they could be like, no, they would be there. To the side.
Yeah, I guess they're
like right next to it.
There's
like,
a lot of double-sided tape there.
Yes, to keep that in place.
She actually doesn't really have like a breast line.
No, she's not too voluptuous at this point.
Like, mine are very wide.
Oh, is she a teenager yet?
Well, you still have nipples when you're a preteen.
Yes, but they're not.
Well, she's not preteen because you get your powers when you're a teen. So
if she only has like really small cups.
Yeah, she was probably 16 to 18 during this storyline.
Nipple covers.
Okay.
Maybe they tattooed the nipples.
Oh, no!
I got that.
I really like that Jean Grey costume.
Yeah, it's good. I love the hair, too.
Yeah.
I love how both the green version and the red version works.
Mm.
Yeah. I like the red version a bit more, though.
It's more badass.
Yeah. It's definitely more badass, but in the green one, I like the contrast with her hair. Like, yeah. In the red, it's very red, obviously, but...
But it's also, like, there's less contrast. She's just fire.
Mm-hmm.
Did she, like, just choose a different suit when she became evil, or is it, like, a transformation thing, or is it, like, a phoenix when she became red?
Yeah, Dark Phoenix, as we call her. Dark Phoenix, just, like, she just changed the color. But anytime we see her in costume, anyway, I think the costume just manifests as part of the powers.
Mm. So she's actually naked?
No, but the power changes your clothes to what you need it to be.
Oh, how practical would that be?
That's
oh
my god.
What, to look in the mirror and be like, oh, I guess I'm evil today.
No, to be like,
traveling.
It doesn't matter what you wear, and then you like walk into the office and your professionalism materializes. And then you walk into a club, and then your sexy disco outfit materializes.
That's just Sailor Moon when she just takes out the pen and becomes an air steward.
Yes, and I want that pen.
It's like I don't need to bring a gym bag or a sleepover bag at my partner. It's just like, bam, sports bra, let's go.
Wait, is there a scene where Sailor Moon turns into an air stewardess?
Yes, there is.
Wow.
She has a cute pen, and she can transform.
I remember
into
the pen.
She can transform. I think one time she transformed into a teacher, an air stewardess, and a maid.
Let's watch them all.
So okay, let me ask first. The original Phoenix, Jean Grey, Dark Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hot?
Yes.
Very uncharged.
Jean Grey will never not be hot. Right. Yes. Sorry.
That's so, an automatic
just,
hot.
Evil or not. Just very unfortunate of her story.
Yeah. Look at that bird. It's so cool.
Also, yeah, the bird is cool as hell.
Right. Well, then, let's talk about Rachel because this is really her entry.
Wait. Can you explain the picture with the guns?
She uses her telekinesis to rip guns out of people's hands.
Gotcha.
Like Matilda, but violent.
I mean,
I hate the story so much.
Yeah. It's so sad.
So sad, yeah. How is she psychologically post?
Not well,
I imagine.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah, not great, but then I found it when she found the X-Men.
I don't know.
It's like, I'm in another life, and she seemed very friendly and smiling, and there's...
This is going to sound, like, stupid, but I feel like... Okay, so she went through a lot of trauma, obviously. But I don't know why, to me... Well, I know why. The tattoo is, like, the step that's too much. Because even if she reforms, even though she's freed of those bastards, she will always be reminded of that trauma every time she looks in the mirror. And that's... That's evil.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's the metaphor.
That's fucked up.
You know what I find interesting? Because she's never corrupted by the Phoenix. She never goes too much to the dark side.
No.
And I wonder if that comes from some self-protective walls that she's put up. I feel like if you have the power to be bad, it's because you're also, like, if you're vulnerable to be good, you're also vulnerable to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
But if she's keeping herself in, like, a safe middle, that might be why she's not being corrupted. But that...
Her coping mechanism to survive that other life...
Yeah,
is
was
kind of
to sort of dissociate, so she can never really fully commit to the evilness of the Phoenix.
Yeah, that's really
Thank you. You're welcome. I'll see you next time.
So, I mean, it was already a parallel future because she shows up in the present. She doesn't exist as a baby or anything, and her mother is dead.
So it's like
already there's been changes. You know, she comes from a timeline where Cyclops and Jean Grey had a baby.
Timelines confuse me.
It is. You can't even imagine. Because they also have...
You looked so worried.
They also, we're never going to touch this because it happens in the 90s. But they also have a son that is not Rachel's brother. They also have a son who becomes Cable, right? From the Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
And they also have a son who becomes X-Man, who is not Cable. And both of them come back in time and they don't know each other. It's like there's so many futures for the X-Men. And everybody comes back down the timeline and just hangs around in the 20th century.
Cool.
Question. Can Wolverine have babies?
With me.
With all of us.
We are way off the point, Amy. You're going to have to wait for the W's.
I hope the baby is not, like, full of adamantium.
They replaced his... Well, bones are adamantium.
They didn't change his DNA in any way.
It's not genetic.
Oh, thank God, because I was doing like birthing adamantium.
Oh, and would it be flexible? Like, will the...
Wait for the W's. Okay. I'll have all the answers on the Wolverine births.
Oh, yeah?
It's one episode of just Wolverine.
Well, for once,
forewarned. He's in advance. You can actually Google it.
I was forewarned.
Does she get compared to her mother a lot?
Well, people are afraid of the Phoenix, obviously. So now she shows up. She's a new Phoenix. So people are worried that she's going to turn to the dark side.
That's
right?
A little bit what I was asking.
Yes.
If people are like permanently scared, then she'll turn.
That must be annoying.
At the same time, I wouldn't mind if everyone was walking on eggshells around me sometime.
So what's worse about her backstory? The dark future, tattoos, etc.? Or
everything.
Her dad's Cyclops.
Trying not to go there out of respect for her trauma.
Well, okay.
I have a question. Where was he? His daughter was kidnapped.
Well, yeah,
and he's like, what? Nowhere?
Well, in the future, they've been killed.
Are they both been killed?
So,
like, in the future, there's hardly any of the mutants, you know, left because they've all been hunted down.
Is she an in vitro baby?
No.
Well, how is that possible?
Like, she remembers her mom and dad.
Yeah. She's in a different timeline.
But in the other timeline... Jean Grey didn't die. But then as it turns out, Jean Grey didn't die. So now that future...
Oh, was she in an egg in the river?
The egg in the river.
I can't believe I remembered that.
Oh my God, the egg in the river.
So now suddenly say, okay, now the future is... Now it's possible. Oh no. You know, so anyway, X-Men.
Right.
X-Men is so confusing.
I hate all of this.
That's the highlight of my week.
But
I remembered the egg in the river.
is Rachel Summers hot or not?
I can't.
Tragic. Tragic.
It's just a bit sad, but, like, I'm proud of her.
I can't say hard, but I would hang out.
I feel like it's kind of those people that have gone through unimaginable experiences, and they're never gonna be, like, okay. But they survive them, and they're just the fact that they find a reason to still be alive. And, like, you're never fully fixed, but it's that in itself, I think it's hot. Good job.
Also, the outfit's cool.
So. Yeah, honestly, she looks great.
I feel like it's weird hanging out with people who have gone through, like, so much trauma.
Like most superheroes, probably. My parents are dead!
No, well, you complained about your day, and it's like, well, nothing's as shitty as what you went through, so...
Going to group therapy with superheroes would be awful.
Oh my God. There is a comic about that.
I love it!
It's awful.
Bummer.
I was right!
The unimaginable.
Stop, stop, stop!
If you stop fighting that force inside you, if you embrace it, you will possess the very power of a god.
I refuse.
Plant Man!
Okay, now I'm all right.
Thank you.
This amateur Brit scientist spent the better part of his life working on enhancing plant intelligence so we could communicate with them. He was in fact fired from his gardening job because he was spending too much time on his special project. His breakthrough, lightning hits his plant ray gun, and now it works. It can make plants grow.
It doesn't sound like he did much about it then, to be honest.
Brilliant scientist.
Amateur. So it can make plants grow to monstrous proportions and move at his command. So he turns to crime to take revenge on his former employer and later to steal money. He steals money to invest in making his veggie ray better and... actual name, and more powerful.
No.
So he can pull off bigger, better schemes and get even more money. So it's a vicious cycle. Among his special plants, we can mention the seaweed monster he attacked London with and vegetable simuloids of himself that he remotely controls so he doesn't get caught when the heroes swoop in. His plant doubles might have special powers like poison thorn shooters or spore launchers and created simuloids of other people. He once took over S.H.I.E.L.D. with 1,000 of them. He's pictured talking to a tree, looks like, sitting in a weird machine, and in another costume attacking New York with a giant plant.
So that's not the simuloid.
No, the simuloid is just like himself. It's like a pod person.
There's an episode of... Okay, now I'm not sure if it's Are You Afraid of the Dark or if it's Goosebumps, but it's the one with the plant dad... Who splices human DNA with plants, and then the plants like create like a humanoid version of themselves and replaces the dad.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I mean, they adapted that because that's the idea. The pod people, you talk to them and they're off. They're made of plants.
Yeah, and there's worms. That's how you know they're not human. The worms.
The worms.
To me, it reminds me of Troll 2.
Oh, it's the ears. What's up with the ears?
I think he looks like he's in a play for Gremlins.
Yes, yeah. He does look like a gremlin a lot.
I definitely prefer the second costume.
And I love that second costume's belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cute.
I think that's why it made me think of that episode, is because it's just a little goofy enough that it's children's horror vibes.
Yeah, the posture is ridiculous.
What is he trying to do?
It's like, I find there's cool powers, and I look at the images and I'm like, what happened to you?
Well, he's trying to do that TikTok dance.
He's dancing. He's doing a pop move.
I also love this.
I'm so down. I wish the costume with the flower was the costume.
The main one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's solid.
I like the mask. It looks... Mm-hmm. I like the glasses on the mask.
The glasses are good.
And the cape.
Yeah. And you know, like, what we were saying earlier, where it's, like, somebody who has, like, too many powers, and it's kind of, like, meh. I love when, it's a little guy who has a little mission, you know? I really like when they have, like, specific...
The niche heroes.
He went from meh to meh.
His base of operation is a submarine somewhere in the Atlantic.
That's so strange. Come visit us! But that's not plants.
Well, I mean, if he wants to convert, like, if you want to...
There are algae plants in the sea.
I know, but it's barely plants.
What? They're, like, responsible for, like, a lot of our oxygen.
Yeah, way more than the rainforest.
I'm not saying they're not important. I'm saying there's no dirt.
He attacked London with a seaweed monster.
Exactly.
And so I love it.
That would make sense.
That's probably when we saw the sub.
Could it be, like, in Avatar, and he's, like, covered in vines and algae, and he's, like... Waterbending it. I love this idea.
You know, honestly, I love this powers.
Like, I love the powers. I love the potential, the possibilities. I don't feel like it's exploited there.
The but outfit,
it's exploited there.
The outfit could, like, definitely be better.
Like, honestly, I look at only the two last pictures. I ignore the three other ones, and I am pleased, happy, and I find it fun. And I think about the gardens he'll build me, and I'm like, oh, we'll have a bunch of vegetables for salads.
See,
and
I really wish you would have showed this to the network to ask them if it would be a hot or not, because this is definitely something that people would say, not, but we're so into it.
Can he landscape my yard?
Yeah. He'll take care of your garden.
Yeah, I could never bring him to my parents' place.
Oh, they would never.
Because then we'd have a freaking army of garlic heads. It'd be terrible. Well,
I would make him make me, like, a giant sunflower.
Oh, maybe that's what this is.
Right? Oh, how fun.
And you could sit in it. Yes. Like Thumbelina Queen.
Imagine the Instagram photos.
Why are you shaking your head, Mike?
I'm really tired.
From a ridiculous... You know what my favorite thing is? The fact that it's called Plant Man.
Yeah, it's really just... We're just being blunt. We're just saying what it is here.
Whatever, it's a plant man. The plant man. He does plants, okay?
His name's Samuel Smithers.
Smithers?
You'd think he'd be with the Serpent Society.
Oh, he's divorced.
Aww.
Perfect. It happens to the best of us. Get over it.
No, that's fine. That means he's available.
He's available.
Single.
He's got a big chest, though. I don't understand the chest.
Yeah, it's because of the way... I think it's his posture that's making it look
like,
that way.
It's imagine really weird, your arms though. Behind. No, it's pushing your breasts.
Look at my chest area forward, so he just looks bigger.
Tricep dips. He looks like he's doing tricep dips.
Mm. Yeah, no, it doesn't look like... And it also looks like his biceps are too high?
Yeah. I know it's the shading, but the crotch looks very odd. Like, the line in the middle kind of looks like... I don't know what's happening.
The main drawing sucks, and that's just what everyone needs to know. This sucks.
But this...
You know, so that's
just
good.
So just take this one, enhance him, and enlarge it, and put it as the main picture.
He's got a cape.
Question.
And he's got a flower on his penis. Like, that's what we need.
And he's even holding a cool gun.
The veggie gun.
Veggie gun.
Which is hilarious.
That sounds such like children's programming content.
I want to know, when he is fighting with different monsters, does he always have, like, a matching costume that matches the plant that is doing the monsters?
Because no, but I think that'd be a good idea.
He should.
Oh, just, like, a carrot on his belt. Because...
Yeah, or, like, he emulates corn. He made corn stalks.
Yeah, he just,
he
like...
He just has, like, a coat with...
and it doesn't, like, manifest. He has to, like, sew a corn hat.
You see, he cares about being in matching with his...
If it would be that complicated, I would be matching. I would have matching dresses because I want to participate. This is awesome. I want a corn dress and be a corn queen.
What if every time he arrives somewhere, he arrives, like, in a seed, like, sprouting out of the ground? And then he's in the flower.
Like, you can get out of a birthday cake, like,
and then he's in a pea pod.
That's some, like, Riddler shit, and I'm here for it.
I think he should be in a cartoon series right now.
Yeah.
And every time the earth starts to rumble, like, oh no. You see the scene, like, it looks like a bean seed. I don't know. It looks like...
I'm sold.
Who is he a villain to?
People that don't like plants?
You know what I want to see? I want to see him fight the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk.
He's almost there. It's climbing.
Avengers? They seem to mention Fantastic Four, X-Men.
Namor, Captain America, and the Falcon.
I need a plant man only zone, okay? I need just like he's the star of this content.
Disney Plus, get on it.
Yeah. Just Plant Man. Mm-hmm. Just him arriving at parties.
Let's make it official.
Oh my god, it's a reality show.
He'd have fabulous theme parties. Okay, I'm done.
Make it official. Plant Man.
Yes.
They convinced me.
Even if, honestly, the main outfit is very goofy and it looks like a Halloween costume, beyond that, I love it.
But even the face is like...
Listeners, are you surprised?
Tell us in the infuriated comments.
But with the costume on page 9.
Yeah, it's really good.
Use the hashtag WTF. Sunflower, fair warning, I'm gonna love
you if you come my way. Pluto. Huh. Pluto. Pluto. Can I have the Christmas tree, Pluto?
That's my favorite Christmas special.
What has happened over here?
Pluto.
Magic.
I understand.
Mickey Mouse shit.
He said he was tired.
Pluto. One of the Olympian gods who got his own entry. Pluto, the Roman name of the Greek god Hades, to differentiate him from the name of the underworld over which he rules, is Zeus's older brother, who was mostly content to rule his realm of the dead while Zeus ruled Olympus. But when people stopped worshipping the Olympian gods, Pluto felt that Zeus had dropped the ball.
Oh, no.
And in recent years, he's come to Earth as a movie producer called Mr. Pluto, with a scheme to force Hercules into taking his place in the now pointless underworld, where no new souls ever arrive.
What?
No one believes.
No one believes in that.
Oh, so if you die, wow.
You go to your own hell, you know.
Oh, no. Or heaven.
It brought him into conflict with both Hercules and Thor, and ever since, he's had an eye on conquering other realms. He's a stern, brooding god, but he actually enjoys his duties. He resents his fall from power and blames Zeus for it. He sees himself as a rebel savior of the Olympians by destroying other religions. Like other gods, he's immortal and indestructible, can fire energy beams, travel through the other dimensions. His touch makes you weak.
Oh my god.
Among his weapons is a helmet of invisibility, which maybe he's holding, and an enchanted battle axe. He is pictured fighting Thor as Mr. Pluto in a trench coat, firing an energy blast, wielding a sword of fire and his axe, and sheathed in a protective flame. We also get a map of Hades, which includes Tartarus, the place of torment where the parents of the gods, the Titans, are imprisoned, and more pleasant lands like Elysium.
Why am I in Hades?
Oh yeah,
Elysium, yeah.
Why? I thought...
It's a Greek heaven.
Well, why is it in Hades?
Well, Hades is just the realm of the underworld.
Oh, okay.
Not everybody split it up.
Oh,
it's a very Christian idea to split it up.
That guy has so many outfits. This is so different.
So what you're saying is the trench coat look is the movie producer look?
Yes.
That is hilarious.
I love that. It's like, I'm a movie producer and I put a mustache. Mr. Pluto!
The businessman.
This is also a good show about trying to convince Hercules to take his job. It's so funny.
Because he's the villain in that Hercules cartoon you like, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't look like that.
No.
I don't like the look, but I love the personality.
I love the look.
Yeah, I actually really like
the outfit. I don't know why, but I love the look.
I like the helmet that looks very discontented.
That helmet of invisibility.
Is it invisibility?
Invisibility.
That is
not invisible.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Non-visible.
See them.
I completely agree, though, that it's like
so
the
loud,
most eye-catching mask.
it's like 7 feet tall.
It's so
it has
funny.
Pom-poms. Like, come on.
I know, it's so funny.
I like to think there are bells in the pom-poms, too.
You think it looks like that because he didn't want to lose it?
Oh my god, I really hate the bucket gloves.
Yeah, that's
yeah, that I don't love.
You see,
I like the whole outfit, but the gloves are so bad.
You see, they're so big. It kind of makes me laugh because my thought was like, I could put snacks there.
That's where he put his mask when he's not using it.
It looks silly, but also I'm like, I could store snacks.
But you know what though? It feels like it's the kind of thing that you drop a bunch of shit into, and then at the end of the day, you take them off.
like when you take off your bra and there's just popcorn.
Yes, that's never happened.
And you put change earlier, and you were like, oh, I won't forget, but it gets to your body temperature. Yes. Yes. And then just budget cords.
Oh my god, all the time.
I've taken my bra off and the change is just glued to my boobs. Yes. It's just it's in there.
Oh, the amount of time I slept with them on without even noticing.
Okay, I have not hidden change in my bra for like over 10 years.
Yeah, that's totally going in the club.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm going to a music festival. Trust me, there will be boob money.
This is my age now. I would not put money in my bra. I would get a special thing that I could wear under my shirt.
It's not really useful in the mosh pits.
It would get in the place Elise would go, definitely.
Yeah, Elise going to all the mosh pits.
The guy looks like the bad guy in Mulan.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I was thinking that too.
Yeah, mind linked.
Good job, guys.
That's so accurate.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same.
Even the armor, I find, like,
yeah,
has certain elements of
I'm assuming it's traditionally, like, inspired.
Mm.
I'm looking at you significantly, no?
With your expertise?
The gods of every religion... Look at this. I mean, the gods of every religion in Marvel Comics are all like sort of Kirby-esque more than actually their culture.
He has the chain belt thing that we didn't like earlier.
Oh, yeah, the road.
Yeah.
It's the road belt.
Come on, gross.
Is it because it's the highway to hell?
Okay. Yeah. But on the other side here, the yellow and orange suit is what he's wearing under a trench coat as Mr. Pluto?
Yep.
And also it points to the crotch. It's been a while.
It looks like a tool on the chest.
A wrench?
A wrench. There you go.
That's honestly hilarious, though. Imagine you're going to a business meeting with a producer. And
as you do.
He shows up in the trench coat and you're like, okay, it's a bit of a strange choice, but sure. And then he takes it off and he's like that.
But imagine the trench coat. Because the armor is so big, it will look like if you have like a football armor underneath. Like, it must be so stupidly
but I don't know.
Big.
Maybe that's how he gets... is not too big.
The shoulders, they're as high as his chin.
Maybe that's how he got all these movies produced, because he was like, no, everyone was scared.
Yeah. Is he actually producing movies? Like, does he have successful movies?
Yeah,
did he get an Oscar?
Can we look up his IMDb?
Okay, so the show is him trying to cast Hercules, but he ends up trying to test other people as, like, ruling over hell, and it's all terrible.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's like an apprentice thing.
Yeah.
Let's find a new Hades.
Oh, there has to be a good Hades-related title there.
Does he have a girlfriend?
Persephone?
Is a wife.
Oh, yeah.
Does she exist in the Marvel world?
Okay.
We didn't see her.
Yeah, did we see her already?
We did not see her.
Okay, because I'm like,
PR.
Did she eat too many pomegranates?
She is not a concern to the point to have an entry.
I do like that in his world there is a palace of judgment, or a place of judgment.
No,
I don't want to go there.
That's just my daily existence. I would prefer not.
It's where he keeps the dog, Cerberus. He has a little doghouse.
There's something about that chart that seems familiar.
It looks like a heart.
Is it an organ? Does it look like a brain?
It also kind of looks like squashed Africa.
Maybe it looks like squashed like Africa. Greenland.
A bit like a skull.
Yeah, I'm getting skull.
Oh yeah, kind of like a skull. Yeah, I see it.
The back of the head. The nose.
The nexus.
I don't know all these rivers. I only know Styx.
Yeah, that's the popular one.
Well, Lethe is probably there, right? I'm not seeing
yes.
it. Yes. Yeah, Lethe. That's the river that makes you forget your past life.
Gotta go there. Book me a ticket. What happens at River Cocytus? Cocytus?
I don't know all
I prefer them. Phlegathon.
The worst of all marathons.
This would be a very weird cruise.
Yeah, halfway you're like, Why were you in this boat?
Oh, no. Who are you?
Oh.
Oh, look at the big yoko.
Yeah, look at a big pop.
I don't like the orange and yellow. I'm too obsessed with Hercules to accept this, like, orangey, fiery hell and not, like, blue cold.
It's very
Hercules
funny
the movie.
Yeah.
That he's so outrageous. I feel like you are often like, portrayed, like, the devil or Hades or whatever as, like, a very, like...
Serious and boring.
Like, even as a movie producer, like, you imagine, like, a smoky man, like, very subdued with a cigar that's mysterious, making you sign contracts, that kind of bullshit. Mm-hmm. And he's out here going, like, I'm the flashiest motherfucker. Look at this. What is happening in this panel?
That's great. It's great. I would love to know if somebody could tell us in the comments, like, what's happening in that scene.
In the trench coat. That's
the
great.
Trench coat scene.
Yeah.
But also, like,
11.
we didn't talk about the green outfit with the flaming sword. That's complete other outfit.
Oh, that's a Sunday look. That casual.
Oh, you're right.
He makes pancakes in this one.
Yeah.
I find in the yellow and orange, he kind of looks like Shakespeare.
Mm. I do see it.
I really don't like the hair.
No.
But
well, it's not a hair. It's not hair. It's a
fire?
No, it's a collar.
No, but I think there's hair on the bottom. Like, he's not just bald. Oh, he's got hair.
The hair look where it's, like, there's nothing on top.
Black.
Right?
Bald
or is
on
it...
top. Yes.
Yeah, because
hair is black.
Maybe that's hair.
Yeah, that's hair.
Because that's the traditional look, right?
Yeah.
No, hey, it's definitely like the Huns
in
Milan. It's that kind of look.
Pluto, hot or not?
I need to know more. I need to watch season 1 through 3 of this episode. Show.
I like the idea. I like all what we discussed, but in the end, nah.
Home for Hades. I guess it's just so pretty much. We need, okay, reality TV name to replace Hades. What is it?
Love It or Hades.
No, Pluto.
Ah!
Love,
yes,
it,
love
Hades.
It or Hades. Love It or Hades.
That's good.
That's good.
I love him, I think.
Strong.
Yeah, I think I like this.
I like
the absolutely ridiculous mask. I like the detail on his suit. There's some versions I prefer than others, but like I like the main one a lot. It's a very fun, ridiculously flamboyant outfit, and I'm here for it.
I can't fucking believe some people will haunt him, and we all haunted Plant Man.
I will come in and say I will not haunt him, because I just think he'd be a very boring date.
Oh yeah, not really great.
I need to think more of just, like, he's kind of cool looking, kind of cool with this. It's like, where would he bring me on a date?
On a movie set.
Imagine the stories this guy would have, though. That'd be fascinating.
But I feel he would not listen to my story.
Yeah, but whatever. I want to listen to his anyway.
I want to be listened to as well.
My stories are not nearly as cool as his. There's no way.
It's not gonna be that boring, because, like, he was like, okay, alright, no one's coming. I'm gonna do what? Career change, movie producer, okay? That's kind of interesting.
A different kind of hell.
Yeah.
I'm like kind him. Of between Jose and Nat. I like him, but also, like, I don't know that I would enjoy dating him, but, like, I'd want to, like, find out what his latest ridiculous adventure was, so. And also find out what he's going to wear every time.
Yes. Oh, he's all Met Gala.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Invite him to the cool. Met Gala, guys.
Oh.
I would love to see
Get
that.
Get on it, Glitterati.
I really like the suit itself. I just don't like his face.
Fair.
I mean, put on the mask and that's hot.
And then you won't
see it. Yeah, okay.
He's doing the same face.
I'm like a lukewarm hot.
I just wish he was smiling more.
Mm. No, he's screaming.
I think you're asking a lot.
I don't think he smiles.
I mean, what? Pluto can't smile?
He has a cute pup.
Yes, that's right.
How sentimental.
So begins issue 10 of the Official Handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition. Once again, the wraparound cover is by John Byrne, with Joseph Rubinstein as inker for the whole issue, or at least the characters that didn't come pre-inked. The issue is cover dated September 1986 and has a cover price of
150 US, 175 Canadian, and 75 PUK. This time around, writer-editor Mark Grunwald's column is entitled Imaginary Limits and addresses the general questions readers have about how the power limits were decided on, because Ohadmu is very specific about weight liftage, flight speed, and the thickness of metal plates energy powers can cut through. I'm just going to read all four questions and answers here. The first question is, don't you feel that by specifying the superhuman powers and quantifying the strength levels of the characters in the handbook, that you are needlessly limiting the imaginations of Marvel storytellers? Mark answers, no. All the information published here represents our best estimations of the parameters of power and limits of strength based on what we've observed in the comic texts. Sometimes we have to discount certain discrepancies. For instance, if in 100 stories we see that the best Spider-Man can lift is a garbage truck, and suddenly in one story he's lifting a building, we figure that the one story must be inaccurate. Or if in 100 stories Cyclops' beams can only be stopped by ruby quartz or his own skin, but suddenly in one story a cloth blindfold stops them, we again discount that one instance in favor of the consensus of the information. Now, if Spider-Man starts lifting buildings all the time or Cyclops uses a blindfold constantly, then we'll assume that their strength and powers have changed, and in a future edition, we'll revise the listing. What it boils down to is this. Our entries describe the known. They don't limit the unknown. All right, fair enough. Second question. How come certain characters get so much more space devoted to them than other characters? Answer, I try to give each entry the optimum amount of space it takes to adequately account all pertinent information. In certain instances, long-standing characters like the Human Torch, Dr. Doom, or Magneto require three or more pages to do justice to their long checkered careers. In other instances, characters with unusual powers, like Cyclops, Invisible Girl, or Ant-Man, require the space to accurately describe their powers. And finally, there are those characters, I'll let you provide your own examples, whose concepts, histories, and or powers are such an inelegant mishmash, I would have used mishmash, it takes a lot of space to account for them. Sad but true, not all characters are created equal, and that's why we don't give them equal space. Well, Iron Fist getting zero pages, Black Panther getting a single page, Ghost Rider, even though he's retired, getting a single page and not a shot of him in the fiery head, etc. Some mistakes were made, especially at the beginning. End editorial. Third question. How come certain characters who don't fit all of the criteria for inclusion outlined in the foreword to Ohotmu number 2 still manage to get an entry? Now, to refresh our memories, Mark answers, the inclusion requirements insisted that the entry subject be alive and of major importance, namely that he or she or it appeared at least 3 times, once in the past or next year, or too new to determine if he or she it would be of major importance. So then, how did folks like Lord Chaos, Orca, or the gods of Heliopolis make it in these pages? It seems I forgot to mention another of my great selection biases. Uniqueness factor. If there's no one else quite like him, her, or it, yet they haven't appeared often or lately enough to strictly qualify for my definition of major importance, I still had them written up. Why? Because they help describe the great variety of phenomena in the wondrous place known as the Marvel Universe. I think that's one of the better traits of who's who. I won't say as well, I say much more so. Okay, fourth question. How come some of the figures who appeared in the original edition of the handbook get new illustrations and others do not? Answer, well, obviously, if a costume is changed, I commission a new figure. Otherwise, I try to get the definitive illustration of the character. If I look at the drawing we used in the original edition and conclude that it would be impossible for another drawing to improve upon it, I go with the original. We never promised you all new art, just the best we could get. And the fifth and final question. Okay, there's 5 questions. Why do we list the origin issue for some characters and not for others? Answer, simple. Some of the characters have never had origin stories, and what details we managed to derive come from numerous sources. So there you go. And at the back of the book, the Appendix of Dimensions continues, this time from Kismet to the Netherworld of Eternal Doom. At least we've gone past the halfway point. The highlights include Kunlun, where Iron Fist got his training, 3 different limbos, True Limbo, Belasco's Limbo, and the one where Rom sends the dire race, and the Microverse. Though, full warning, because of rights issues, the word Micronauts is not used except to say the first appearance was in Micronauts number 1, nor did the team get an entry. Now, that's more understandable than the Iron Fist problem, which I will stop mentioning now. Art credits on this one. Paladin by Brian Bolland. Phaistos by Sal Buscema. Phoenix by John Romita Jr. Plant Man by Stan Walk. And Pluto by Walt Simonson.
Your Halloween headquarters for the greatest podcast selection of classic horror films.
The House of Frankenstein.
Do haunted houses scare you?
They're mortar, stone, and wood.
Visit fireandwaterpodcast.com for your favorite monsters and stars.
Lon Chaney Jr.
Creature that's been alive for over 3,000 years is in this town, and it's brought death with it.
George Zuko.
If you were to kill me, you're leaving at large a monster that only I can control.
Peter Cushing.
Is that what you want, Count Dracula? A last blaze of utter horror and violence?
Christopher Lee.
Revenge has spread over centuries and has just begun.
Boris Karloff.
Colin Clive.
It's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
And Don Knotts.
So what is brave? How should I know? I'm chicken.
Plus, only at Supermates Podcast, your favorite comic superheroes versus fiendish monsters.
Wonder Woman, Superman, we meet again. You must pay for burying me.
Check your local podcast listings for a location near you.
All treats, no tricks.
And you're chicken if you miss
the House of Frankenstein.
Female bag.
Woo!
Female bag.
Woo!
Female bag.
Woo!
We're sorry.
I'm sorry.
Comments on episode 85, Omega Flight, Orca, Overmind, and the Owl. Let's start with Omega Flight. Captain Entropy has notes on Diamond Lil. Diamond Lil, a.k.a. Diamond Tooth Lil, according to the Wikipedia entry, is the nom de joie de vivre of two Austrian immigrants to the North American West. They both had diamond insets in their teeth. One sang, one ran brothels. Now it is associated with tough, sexy dames with raucous lifestyles. Mae West wrote a play of the same name and starred in it. The U.S. Army Air Force named a B-24 Liberator Diamond Lil. In Vietnam, a young airman on a B-52 named Diamond Lil shot down a MiG jet fighter. Back when B-52s had gunners for self-defense, that particular aircraft was on static display at the U.S. Air Force Academy in the late 20th century. So that's where the name comes from. Chris Franklin says, it's amazing to think that this Omega Flight entry is drawn by Mike Mignola. I think you can see a bit of modern Mignola here and there. Diamond Lil's legs, for example, but he's still a long way from Hellboy. Martin Gray thinks Flashback's costume is not only bog generic, but features obscene tightness. He might as well call himself Flasher.
Obscene tightness. I am noting this down. Uh-huh. Keeping it in my memory.
Yeah.
Mike Dinah says, hooray for more Canadian content. I'm a big fan of Diamond Lil. Like Siskoid mentioned, she wasn't a villain per se, and I really like that. I want to say that there was an issue where they explored the loneliness of Diamond Lil, not being able to feel. Wildchild really felt like Marvel saying, Wolverine is really selling well. Make another one. And I hated it. Eric has an answer for Mike. Regarding Omega Flight and Diamond Lil, there was a storyline where she had a serious health scare complicated by her powers. Sometime after joining Alpha Flight, she discovered a tumor, and her terror of the situation was made worse by the fact that no scalpel could penetrate her skin to perform a biopsy. Wow. The storyline was eventually resolved when Lil was injured by an alien weapon, and when the team realized that they'd found something that could get through her skin, Madison Jeffries, her ex, converted the weapon into a medical device to treat her.
Aw,
that's nice.
That's really great.
It was a benign cyst, much to everyone's relief.
Aww.
Regarding Flashback and the speculation about his acting career, if he was working today, I can see him being one of the suspects of the week on Murdoch Mysteries. I'm not sure what the 1980s equivalent would have been. I wonder if he ever tried incorporating his powers into his acting career, like playing twins without trick photography.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine David Cronenberg seeing the potential of Flashback's powers and writing roles specifically for him. Would that mean in that Marvel Universe, Gardner Munro starred in Dead Ringers instead of Jeremy Irons? To Eric's question, Mike Dynas answers, I totally can see Flashback on episodes of MacGyver, The Littlest Hobo, or The Beachcombers. And this is starting to get old for you guys. Because Mike W. suggests Hanging In or King of Kensington, or is that too far back? Mike, that is too far back for me.
I don't watch TV.
But you also didn't watch TV in 1953.
Well, it would have been like early 80s, before your birth. Remember that show, that Canadian show from before your birth? The show was like,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, and if I'm late to the party, it's because, well, we're all French kids. So it means I was watching French TV shows rather than English TV shows until I learned English. So a lot of these shows, yes, I was alive, but I was watching something in French. Let's talk about Orca. Baron Byte says Namor really has all the Sifana themed villains. Orca is a bit too trusting and too aggressive. He's never the main villain, only a follower. And I'm sure if a good positive undersea leader took him under his wing, he could be redeemed.
I want that for him.
Kevin from New Orleans hopes to see Orca in the new Black Panther movie.
Yes.
Mike Dynas adds, he's finding his joy riding that whale. I'm wondering, if you go in for a kiss, won't those costume teeth around the head get in the way? But no, because
his face is huge.
Yeah, right. It's so big.
On Overmind, Martin Gray says Overmind could never be hot. Not with that daft Abraham Lincoln facial hair. Chris Franklin says, if they don't like Overmind's beard, I guess the girls aren't awaiting the arrival of Amish super beings in these pages.
Oh, good lord.
And Gene Hendrick says, if you think the beard is bad now, just wait until he comes back in Quasar number 13, where he took a page out of Namor's book and was homeless for a time.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, sometimes that's better, though, giant beards.
Yeah, I do. I like them.
Rather than
like
a weird trim
beard.
On it.
Yeah.
Because a weird trim...
That's a
you
choice.
Chose that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You started cutting, and this is where you stopped.
And you deem this is good, which is like, not.
And if it's just bushy, you're going,
oh. Full beard, it's like, oh, you've been in the woods. Cool. Did you see a squirrel?
Have you been out to sea for a while?
The owl. Chris Franklin says, Leland Owsley did appear on the Netflix Daredevil series, played by Bob Gunton, most famously the warden in Shawshank Redemption. He unfortunately did not have the hair, or the cloak, or the cloths.
Oh, well, why bother?
He was just like Kingpin's lawyer or something.
Just a dude.
Baron Byte says he is a budget penguin from Batman.
I see that.
He never really felt menacing, especially once Kingpin was introduced. Mike Dynas says, I also thought that the owl was derivative of Wolverine, not knowing he was created before Wolverine. I was all ready to say the same thing that I felt about Wildchild. My view on owl is now going up, thanks to things I learned on Ohotmu.
There you go.
Educational content.
Thank Mike, that wasn't us.
No. Martin Gray says, the owl's Victorian murderer vibe is excellent. The diagram of how his claws supposedly work is ridiculous. Who could possibly care about cogs and ratchets? It's a knife that comes out of his sleeve. What more could you need to know?
Everything.
Eric, about the comments last time, says, since they asked where I was from while trying to figure out what animals I would that would follow me, I'm from Georgia, the U.S. state, not the European country. So, yeah, raccoons were an appropriate choice.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go, we have to mention the Fire and Water Podcast Network Patreon page at patreon.com/FWPodcasts. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or a monthly donation, the amount of which will allow you to unlock rewards like getting on the hot list, get the girls to throw a custom compliment at you. What's your theme?
No.
Coat.
Just because of this trench?
Well, he has a trench, and then we said paladin. The other had the puffer jacket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
One for Eric.
You're like a light windbreaker.
Why?
Why?
Because he breaks wind.
Sorry,
Eric. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. That's a bad theme. I'm so sorry.
I was so bored. I was so bored. I was like, oh, yeah, it's a cool choice.
Okay, no, I'm sorry.
Slight and breezy.
Yeah, or like he keeps you from the bitter cold.
One for Gene Hendricks.
Okay, he's got like a long, like gold jacket.
Wow. He could pull off a gold jacket.
Yeah.
You know what I want desperately? It's in relation to this. I really want a giant, like, oversized winter coat that's, like, to my foot. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what I imagine you in right now.
Because it's comforting and you're comforting.
It's very royal.
And you're level enough to pull it off. Yeah, it's so cool. I watched House recently and everyone has those jackets. It's perpetually winter in that show, basically, and they're all wearing those big winter jackets, and it's great.
Mike Dynas.
Where is he from?
BC.
He's from BC?
He's wearing, like, a jean jacket, because it's never cold there.
Jean jacket with jeans, double denim, Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, he's so cool that he pulls it off. Yeah.
And another Canadian here, Monsieur Nick. Still chipping money in there.
Mr. Duke is like a big, thick cloak that warms you at night.
Aww.
See, I imagine it like a flannel coat with like a kind of faux fur trim.
Oh, like a lumberjack?
Lumberjack would wear. Yeah. But
wow.
It's very outdoorsy.
I was imagining a cloak of feathers.
I know the really regular coat of a coat of feathers.
You laughed, but I was thinking the same thing.
And it's not even Friday. What's this week is going to be something, guys.
And do we want to mention it? That our friend Amélie got engaged to Monsieur Nick.
Yay!
We are soon to be Mrs. Nick.
She's like showing you the ring.
Mrs. Nick.
I am waving the ring towards the microphone. I hope you can hear it.
Wait. We can like ASMR it.
Can you hear the purity of that stone?
Uh-huh. Yes, it's an aquamarine. It is set in a gold band, and he proposed...
Cathedral?
Yes, cathedral setting.
There you go.
And he proposed in Ottawa, which is one of my favorite cities, and it was really, really sweet. We've been together for 10 years.
And that's what happens when you contribute to this show, right? You get to marry one of us.
There's four left.
All right, Patreon followers. That's one of the bigger awards.
Jesse really pitched in a lot. Patreon.
Stretch goals.
That's how he paid the ring.
Oh, all right, say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye. I'm sorry about the windbreaker.
We love you. What if it's like a secret deposit? He's been putting $5 a month in this, but it's been deposit box for the ring.
Yeah, I'm sure. I had to take the Patreon money out and go buy that ring. It was on our merch store. You didn't notice?
So happy you were involved. That's so sweet, Mike. I went to Starbucks and they asked if I wanted a straw. And I said yes, actually, because I imagined this sound wasn't going to be fun for the podcast. And I told him I was in a podcast. And he was like, oh, wow, now I'm imagining your voice in a podcast. That's so cool. And he kind of like leaned on the windowsill like I was telling him the most amazing thing that I was ever
wanted his tip.